Good morning. God bless you. You brave people. I pray that today you'll feel sorry for those who stayed at home. I pray that you will experience such blessing that you will say, I'm glad I braved the cold. I have been enriched. I was given the assignment of leading us in worship in the context of an ordination in 2 weeks. So I want you to, I have some ideas, but I want you to think about what are the truths that lead you to worship in the context of an ordination in 2 weeks. Where do your thoughts go? What do you think God wants us to know and to remember as we look forward to an ordination? I really want to hear. This isn't just questions to make you think. I want to hear. Okay. Yes.
That he's the chief pastor over all pastors.
Good. Which means that he is deeply invested. He's watching. He's deeply invested, and he wants to see this succeed. Thank you. That's really good. Was someone else going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think one part of worship is where we are willing to relinquish control and truly trust.
Uh-huh.
And it's a challenge to do that from a leadership perspective as well as probably laity perspective.
Uh-huh. We relinquish control and we say, God, you can do this. I don't have to control. The Lord directs the heart of the king and of the people. And so you're saying in the process, the way that we've chosen to do it, God's going to be there and make it happen. Arlen, you were going to say something.
God delights in revealing himself to his people.
Aha. Uh-huh. God delights to reveal himself to his people. Amen. We're going to give you a mic.
He cares more than we do.
Aha.
Uh-huh. About the outcome.
He cares more than we do. Amen. This is his church. Good. I love it.
My mind was going, Jesus Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen. And Keith going is not a problem. God knew about this. When God called Keith to go to Virginia, he had this all figured out. Good. Thank you. My thoughts go to the God of the Bible chooses to use people like you and me. I don't know if you think about it. If he were OCD, if he were worried, he'd probably say, I think I'd better take care of this, because they could mess up. But instead, he gives us the chance to participate and to be on his team. Now, that's not because he's scratching his head and saying, I don't have what it takes to make this, to pull this off. Did you ever think about how God gave us the calling to reach out and to evangelize? But then at the end, in Revelation 14:3, he sends angels flying in the sky, speaking on loudspeakers in the dialect of the people, giving clear messages. Do you think God needed us to do evangelism, to do church building? I don't think so. But he had this majestic plan of us participating in this and growing in the process and getting to be on his team. I just think that is glorious. That is so beautiful that he doesn't need us, but he lets us help. Thank you, Lord. God can find the best people to fit the job. I want to tell you three stories. God sent Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the next king. And Samuel didn't say, well, it's got to be one of you seven. I guess we'll cast lots. No. God knew there was a David out taking care of sheep, which those who know wonder why in the world, if he is one of seven, one of Jesse's sons, why wasn't he at the party? Why was he out taking care of sheep? Some people wonder if he wasn't an isolated, rejected son of a different mom. We don't know. But what I want to say is that God said, nope, nope, nope. And so Samuel says, I'm up against. Is there anyone else? Well, yeah, that one. Well, we're not going to go further. We're going to ask him to come. That's story one. Story two is Exodus 31. Can you imagine God wants to have a tabernacle built? And what do bricklayers, what do slave bricklayers know about building a tabernacle? Nothing. Unless God has equipped people. Oh yeah, I know how to do that. But there's 603,000 men, and how's God going to find the right man? Do you think God was scratching his head and saying, I don't know what to do? No. God says, there's Bezalel and there's this other guy. I've given them the gifts that they need to do the job. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? That God knows where the people are. What we don't know is if Bezalel got recruited by the Egyptians to help them make idols. We don't know. We don't know if they had life experience to make so they could do the job, or if God had intuitively given them gifts so that when they had the job, they just kind of knew how to do it. We don't know. But what we do know is that God knew where the gifted people were, and he found them. I like that story. And the third story I want to tell you is about Paul. Paul was a Christian hater who did everything he could to stop the advance of the way. And God had chosen him. And so God said, that's not a problem. I can figure this out. I think in 3 days of blindness, wrestling with what just happened, doing an Old Testament survey, I think he's going to get it. And he did. Isn't that wonderful? So God is, the other thing I want to say is God isn't just choosing one person or one couple and the rest of us have been discarded. That's not what's happening. Maybe you're here and your husband have never been in the lot. So what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm less than? Does that mean that I guess I don't count? I don't think so. I want to honor people like my brother Harold, who does lots of behind-the-scenes things, and you women who interact with each other and encourage each other, and nobody sees that, but that's important. 1 Corinthians 12 says that God has given the gifts that the church needs to function well. So the question is, what happens if it doesn't look like we have the people that we need? Maybe they're still in the harvest. But God, 1 Corinthians 12, has given the church what we need to prosper and to do well. We've all been chosen, and just because my job is not as visible, it doesn't mean that I am less than. Maybe you tend to think a kidney or a finger or a lung or whatever. You never see that, and maybe it's not that valuable. Just put one of those in danger and then see what happens. The other thing I really like is that Paul tells Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift that was given you when you were ordained. And so I want to say, if God taps you on the shoulder, or any of us, to do a job we don't feel very competent in, with that calling from the church, God is giving us what we need to do the job, even though we don't feel competent. He's given us the gifts. We just need to figure them out. We just need to unpack them. I have one more point I want to share, and we're almost running out of time. But do you have more thoughts about truths that we just need to know that drive us to worship? There's a hand.
It's sacred work.
It's sacred work. Okay? And yet God doesn't need us, but he lets us be a part of it, and we're changed, and it's a delight. The last truth I want to share with you comes from Ephesians 3, 9, and 10. It's talking about God and his majestic plan. I get the idea that it's the end of time, and God is saying, it's all over, and the God of the Bible, who could do a majestic presentation, a majestic show that's 1,000 times better than the best Super Bowl halftime presentation. He could do something so much better than that. But instead, listen to what he does. I'm just breaking in. I think you'll catch on. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God is going to use the church to show off his majestic plan when he could have done something spectacular, but he wanted to use people to show off his majesty and to expose and shame our enemy. Can you get that? I can't, but I try. We're out of time, so I guess I was going to invite you to pray, a bunch of you to, I think we'll do it. Oh, thank you. I'm thinking that Harry has been really adept at moving a microphone around. But I want to even allow those of you who don't have a microphone just to speak up real loud and give me a chance to repeat what you said, and that way the people who are listening in can join us in prayer. We're praying, we're responding to the truths that we've talked about this morning, and we're adding to them if God gives us others. And we're worshiping, and we're praising, and we're saying, God, thank you for these truths. I'll start us off. Lord, we stand in awe. We stand in awe because you've chosen to use us to expose and to humiliate our enemy. And we just say thank you. We don't deserve that. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of you. We say thank you. Who will be next?
Thank you, Father, that you have provided everything that Center Church needs for life.
Thank you, Father, that you've provided everything that Center Church needs for life and to thrive. Amen. How manifold is your wisdom? Amen.
Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world.
Amen. Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world.
You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet you chose us.
You're the King of Kings and the Lord of your Lords, and yet you chose us. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Arthur, for leading us in those thoughts of worship.